This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh, and you're listening to Pressing Matters Right Now, the show that goes behind the headlines, where we speak to members of the press on their stories. Today on the show, we have P. Gunasekaram, independent business analyst and Malaysia Kini columnist. Guna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, recently, Guna, you wrote an article in Malaysia Kini entitled Tread Carefully with MMC Garuda Contract Issue. And definitely the MRT2 issue is a complicated one. We have statements coming up from YB Tony Pua, that special officer to the Minister of Finance. We also have statements coming up from the MMC Garuda JV. And, you know, it's become a he said, she said kind of issue. And, you know, it's tough to form an informed opinion right now as to who is right, who is wrong, what's happening. Can you share with this, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think these kind of contracts are always very complicated. So it's pretty difficult to say who's right or wrong unless you have the details. And even the details, if you have them, will be very complex for many people to unravel. So the MRT2 project is what this involved. The construction cost for the above ground portion was 22.64 billion originally, and 16.71 billion for the underground portion, for a total of 39.35 billion. So the government then, achieved a pretty credible savings of 5.22 billion, which is 23% of the original above ground contract. So the one which is now in dispute is the 60% of the underground portion, which was initially cancelled because no agreement was reached and a new international tender was to be called. You know, MMC Garuda said it offered a reduction of 2.3 billion or 24% of the 9.6 billion outstanding works for the remaining tunneling work. But the reduction was actually achieved by cutting stations and specifications. According to Tony Pua, who's Finance Minister Lim Guan Ning's political secretary, he replied saying they expect a cost savings of between 4.19 billion and 5.79 billion, according to their consultants. How exactly these cost savings arise, we don't know. The statement does not say, and the statement does not even say who the consultants are. So because of that, Lim Guan Ning took the position that the contract will be cancelled and new tenders will be called. I think what was interesting was that Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad was asked, well, what about this? And he was supposed to have said that this review will be held. But when I looked at the video recording, all he said was, we will look into it, which is slightly less than a review being held. But following that, MMC Garuda was sort of reconciliatory in their statement, and they were saying that we will come back to the negotiating table. So that is where it stands at this point of time.
Yeah. So let's take a look first of the sequence of events. I think the last week was back-to-back, a couple of days. First, you have the government coming out issuing a statement saying that they're going to re-tender out the underground portion of the MRT2. And there's a view that, MMC Garuda, they were caught by surprise, and the government should have informed the JV first, that they will no longer be handling that part of the MRT2. Do you think that that was a case of just an issue of messaging?
I think there may be some amount of negotiating tactic as far as the government is concerned. So perhaps they had to do something like this to force MMC Garuda back to the negotiating table. Because it's pretty difficult to say what will be the consequences of cancelling a contract like that. There must be conditions in the contract which will cause a penalty to be paid if you cancel a contract. No one knows, at least we don't know, the public does not know what will be the cost of cancellation of a contract with MMC. But the government has to take a stance that they are quite serious about cutting these costs. I think one of the ways that they want to balance the budget or to make the budget deficit manageable is to cut costs. Construction costs will be one of the key ways to cut this. You know?
Yeah, and after that, let's take a look at MMC Garuda. After this whole announcement came out that they're going to the government's going to retender out the underground portion of the MRT 2, they came out to say that issue a statement saying that 20,000 jobs will be lost due to this. Out of which, there's a 60% out of, I think, some 3,000 jobs out of it that would be boomy and all that. So that drew mixed responses. I mean, of course, the staff directly involved would be concerned for their jobs and no doubt about that, right? But there's also a view that the company was playing kind of Malaysia Lama kind of tactic, right? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it looks like there seemed to be a sort of like an orchestrated campaign with employees coming up and weighing in with your own opinions and so on. But I think the MMC Garuda should probably should have broken down this in terms of how many of these workers are foreign, how many are locals, how many professionals and so on. So the public has a better handle of how many people are affected. But as Tony Pua himself pointed out in his statement, that this project is not cancelled, it's going to be retendered. And many of these jobs will be only temporary for the lifetime of the tunneling contract. So after that, many of them have to find other jobs or or move on to other contracts. So if the government is not actually cancelling the project, potentially many of these people could still be re-employed. When the contract resumes.
Yeah, and they started a hashtag like pray for MRT2 and started petitions of that sort. Do you think that is a right way to address the matter or a PR nightmare?
I think they wanted to get the public on their side, but that was sort of like neutralized by Tony Pua's statement. Also, we also shared that after a while, MMC Garuda was not opening up their books to be able to ascertain the actual cost of the projects and where cuts could be made. And of course, MMC Garuda said this is, they pleaded intellectual rights and so on for this.
Yeah. The fact that 40% of MRT2 work has been done, do you think it's fair to just end the contract just like that?
I think the point to know is that if there is overpricing, then there certainly should be negotiations, So even if it is 40% finished, the other 60% will still have a sizable amount of contract period left, So if you're looking at 9.6 billion and the government's consultants saying that the savings could be between 4.19 and 5 over billion, you're talking about as much as 50 to 60% of contract overpricing as far as this contract is concerned, So it could be your cost of construction for the contract could be cut by as much as 50%. That's a huge amount, So there is justification for that,
I was speaking to a consultant who consults when it comes to contracts such as this and that does infrastructure projects. And she was saying that when it comes to tunneling, that is you need a kind of experience and expertise, and not many people have that. But MMC Garuda, they seem to be one of the few JVs out there who have that experience.
I think there are some international China companies who have been noted for their tunneling expertise. And if these guys are coming for the tender, they could potentially be able to offer a price which is even lower than that of MMC Garuda's. So especially if the contracts come with no other strings attached, as with the previous ECRL contracts and things like that. So I think one should not think that there are no other construction companies which can do this better than MMC Garuda. But although it's a fact that they have a lot of experience in tunneling works.
So you think it's a better step to retender it out rather than to straight away call it off?
I think if the government does not get what it thinks is fair for itself, then certainly it should call for retenders.
Okay.
But I think I think probably it's a bit of brinkmanship. This is to push MMC government out to come up with a better deal.
Yeah, it boils down to just the cost, right? It looks like the issue here is just the cost, right? They just have to meet on that figure.
Yeah. But I think one has to. It's pretty difficult to unless you have a detailed analysis by people who know. It's pretty difficult to establish how much the contract overpricing is, you know. But according to the government's consultants, it looks like it's very considerable.
Actually, yeah. Speaking about the consultants, I will come back to that. We'd have to take a. And at break for now. So I'm speaking to P. Gunasegaram, independent business analyst and columnist for Malaysia Kini. We're talking about the MRT2 issue between MMC Garuda and the government, and we'll come back right after our break and we'll discuss further on this issue. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, and our guest today is P. Gunasegaram, independent business analyst and Malaysia Kini columnist. Gunar, you wrote an article recently on Tread Carefully with MMC Garuda contract issue that is on the MRT2 matter that's been ongoing right now. Earlier, we were talking about you brought in the independent consulting firm hired to look into the cost. What are your views on that? Do you think that we should just go with that, or should we get another independent consultant to look into that?
Yeah, MMC Garuda is actually disputing what these people are saying and say that they do not have experience and so on and so forth. But I think if they are a good, reputable engineering consultant, they should have some idea of cost for these. But I think more importantly, can the government cancel this contract without repercussions? So these are some of the questions which arise. And if there's going to be compensation costs, how much would they come up to? So these things will have to be taken into account, you know. And you want a savings after you take into account all of these things, you know. So any kind of compensation costs which have to be paid will have to be taken into account before that will be done. And also remember that both the MMC as well as Garuda share prices dropped quite a bit up post the announcement of the cancellation of the contract. So this can lead to unnecessary market volatility and questions about investor confidence and the sanctity of contracts and so on. And if there is actually, I mean, as some people tend to say, that there may be corruption involved, there is patronage, you know, money comes back to the political parties and so on, then it is necessary to actually prove it before you can actually before you can take action against these companies. And proof is not easy to get as far as these things are concerned. And remember when some time ago there was a proposal to reduce toll rates, you know, and there was a lot of volatility in the bonds as a result of this, because the bonds assumed that this that the agreements at the time which were signed apply. You know? So you have things like that to consider. And according to the rating agency of Malaysia, for instance, I think they estimated that on the issue of tolls, there are something like 53 billion ringgit worth of bonds involved. So these are the wider repercussions which have to be taken into account before some of these things are done.
So you think it's important for us to know the information of the contract, but I don't think they're going to reveal it, though. Can they?
I think it is up to the government if they want to reveal it. You know, the government can declassify almost anything that it wants to, and in this period of openness and transparency and accountability and so on, so before they take any further action relative to MMC Garuda, it would be good if they reveal all of these things. You know, and what will be the final cost? Now. But one wonders whether it will come to that at the end of the day. Now.
Right. You think they're still negotiating and we'll see how
it goes?
The most likely
outcome is will likely be that they will renegotiate and come to a new figure, which will be somewhere between what the government wants and what Garuda is prepared to pay.
Yeah.
But I think also on this issue of corruption and things like that, the government should not back down. If there is actually you know, any kind of indication that there is corruption involved here, and that the contract was overpriced because of that, then they should follow up on that. Huh? And perhaps we have some experience with these things now with 1MDB and so on. So it is possible to establish corruption by looking at the money trails. Huh? So if you look at the trail of money, how it flowed, to whom it went, when did it come back, and so on. Then it may be possible to link it back to the award of the contracts itself. You know?
Yeah, and how much of it was paid? 40% yes. of the jobs were done, but we don't know how much was paid as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's as you said, it could be money flows. They could follow the money. Yeah. Well, if looking at MMC Gamuda's track record, they finished building the MRT one early, and that was below the budgeted cost. I think they mm-hmm. successfully delivered MRT one on time, below the budget of 30 billion ringgit, with a 21 billion ringgit construction cost. Does this mean anything? Although I think there was a time when some questioned the cost of the MRT one. I think, for example, Rafizi Ramli brought that up at that time when MRT one was being built. But do you think this means anything? The fact that they have a track record with MRT one.
I think very few doubt MMC Gamuda's engineering capability. Mm. You know?
It's
so
just the cost.
In this case, yeah, I think it's the cost. Mm. So I would be curious to know how they got a savings of 5.22 billion. From the original above ground portion of the contract. So, and how was this achieved? Was it by reducing the specifications, reducing the scope of works, or was it, did it really involve direct overpricing as such? So these are the kind of questions that one should be actually asking as far as contracts are concerned. I believe the MMC Gamuda contract is one of the major contracts which are being renegotiated at the moment,
yeah.
and has come into the public domain. So, in a sense, it might become a sort of a template for future such overpricing contracts. And according to the Harapan government, there are many such contracts around the place. Then one has to tread even more carefully so that the right way of resolving these problems get established, and that there is no compromise as far as the law is concerned.
Definitely. Do you think also
in both ways?
In both ways, yeah. You know? Do you think it's also a matter of from PDP, because project delivery partner, that was what it was, and then now they're turning more into turnkey. Do you think that helps?
It could have, because the 5.22 billion saved apparently was to convert MMC Gamuda's role as a PDP, a project delivery partner, to that of a turnkey contractor.
Yeah. Do you think, because what, in your opinion, which is a better model when it comes to construction projects?
I think the best model is just open tenders, a very good tender evaluation committee, which will not only base the thing on the award on just price, but also the capability of the contractor, and to eliminate all intermediaries. The elimination of intermediaries saves a lot of costs. You know? So, for instance, I mean, one example is it might be a foreign firm which does everything, but there's an intermediary who actually does nothing but takes 10 or 20% of the contract sum. You know?
Yeah. Mm. Also, earlier we were talking about the Prime Minister getting involved. MMC Gamuda, they made a comment in quotes, "We'll leave this in the good hands of the PM." What do you make of that statement by them?
I'm not exactly excited. It doesn't give me a good impression of MMC Gamuda. I think the contract should be established by professionals according to what they find, not by the Prime Minister, who may not be aware of everything that is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should move to a system where power is devolved from the Prime Minister rather than increasing amount of power is again given back to the Prime Minister. You know, the professionals, the ministries, these are the people, you know, the civil servants themselves who should be deciding this in an honest, open, transparent and competent manner.
Yeah, when it came out of that statement, I think got a number of people who went, what? Like, they went, because they leave it in the hands of the good. It's like Malaysia Lama again. Mm.
Yeah. I think Mahathir was misreported in that instant, because when I looked at the video, it seemed to indicate that he wasn't, if you look at it, at the question that was asked, it was being asked in a rush as he was going somewhere else, and he said, "We are looking at it," So that does not necessarily mean a review as such,
Okay. Well, I've been speaking to P. Gunasegaram, independent business analyst and Malaysia Kini columnist. Thank you, Gunnar, for being on our show today. Great to have you on the show and your insights on the MRT2 story. I'm Joyce Goh, signing off for the morning run this morning. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news after this, followed by Enterprise at BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.